Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Those Working Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Christine.
And today we're going to be discussing what we're looking forward to doing in 2025. This is our first episode back. It's the top of our third season. Oh my gosh, happy new year.
Wild, man.
But we're going to be discussing the little changes we want to make in our day-to-day, things we want to be more intentional about, boundaries with friends and family.
A different take on it.
Yeah, a new take
that Natasha saw on Instagram that I think has a lot of merit to discuss. So I'm excited. It's a new year. It's a new day. It's a great time to give yourself a fresh slate to reset whatever you want to make little changes with. I love the fresh startness of a new year. Mm-hmm. And it was a stressful holiday since I was on deadline. So I feel very relieved.
Christine finished her book, guys.
I handed in my first draft of book four yesterday, so yay. Right on time. It was due yesterday, so I got it in on time.
Well, she texted me at like, what was that, 2:45?
It was like 2:30 or 2:35, yeah. I would not recommend having a deadline over the holidays, but I think it looks like my deadline coincided with like Alex Bracken's deadline and Hannah Mayer's deadline. She also was writing over the break. A lot of deadlines happening over the holiday, which blows. Well, we're excited to discuss all the things, all the changes, all of the day-to-day things we want to do in the new year. But before that, we've got some Snap, Crackle, Pop Culture news. As always, the Golden Globes happened yesterday or 2 days ago.
Well, it's about a week from when the episode goes live, but yeah.
Well, 5 days. But yeah, they happened. And Nikki Glaser really killed it as a host. She was so funny. Like, usually hosts aren't laugh out loud funny on the Golden Globes, unfortunately, unless it's like Tina or Amy back in the day. Mm-hmm. And she really nailed it. I was watching her monologue, like her 10-minute monologue killed. She just had such great one-liners. And then I've been catching little snippets from like the middle bits and stuff, and she did great there too. I'm really happy for her.
Me too. Oh yeah, Deborah said the Pope bit was so funny.
Yes. And
honestly, after last year's Golden Globes, this was like a nice fresh start. let's begin again. The only joke I didn't love was when she said she slept through Dune while also simultaneously like giving a compliment to Zendaya, and I was like, you know, I just kind of wish like we didn't have to like shit on the art too. I think there could have been a little better way, but I think all in all, she did a great job.
The most savage one when she was like, oh, some musicals, like people were singing in the theater, some musicals, everyone hated it. Joker 2, where are you? I'm so sorry. Yeah. And then she's like, oh, you're not here.
That was crazy.
That was savage.
Oh my God.
Zendaya and Tom are engaged. Crazy.
Okay. I didn't know that the Golden Globes were happening until like 8 p.m. and then I saw everything afterwards. And I hate that. Like, I love watching award shows live. And you were on.
I was on deadline. I wasn't going to be able to watch it.
She couldn't watch it. But I'm like, I'm such a big award show girl. And I'm like, damn it. So I saw everything online and I saw the ring on her. And by the way, Zendaya, best dress. She looked stunning. She reminded me of like an old Hollywood movie starlet, like Dorothy Dambridge, and like the hair color too. I just have to, it just looks so good. Everything. She looks stunning. I saw the ring everyone was talking about it. And then we're like, oh, is she engaged? Is she engaged or is this just a ring? And then the next day, TMZ confirmed it. And I told Christina, I was like, I don't believe it yet. I need like a better source because like a source confirmed it to TMZ. And then later on in the day, it is confirmed from a family source to people.com. And also it got me thinking, I'm like, a family source, like, I just, who could it be? Like, did they?
Their moms.
Moms, a grandma. I don't know. But I'm excited for them.
Jean Smart won again for Hex.
Yeah.
Love her. She's fantastic. So happy for her. Interesting for best drama movie, The Brutalist one. I have no idea what that's about. I know we looked it up last time and I can't even remember. Is that the Adrian Brody one?
I just sent you a TikTok about this. So yeah, it's Adrian Brody one. I don't know what it's about.
Is it the Holocaust?
I'm not sure, but I can talk about brutalism. And brutalism is the type of architecture that came after World War II, because in World War II, buildings were demolished by bombings in France and in London, and it was a cheap way to get things built quickly. And brutalism is those buildings that are just concrete buildings. So
yeah,
they're like
the kind that you see in Germany.
They're quick to build. They're very modern looking.
In Berlin, I mean.
And a lot of people were very used to the opulence of the architecture of those countries, like just the beautiful detailing and time that it took to make those buildings. And they felt after the war, it kind of felt like a farce to kind of build up those buildings again when after the brutality of World War One. And so that's where brutalism comes in, the architecture. And
did you do a deep dive on this, or did Alex know? Or
the video I sent you did a deep dive on this
video.
So I'm just referencing this TikTok video that we'll put in the caption below. But the movie represents after the brutality, you want the truth to come out, and the beauty and the truth, that the aftermath of brutality of World War II. I think it's set during that time.
Okay, interesting. So maybe he is a Holocaust survivor, the brutalist.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I just know that from her monologue, she made a joke about him
being
twice Holocaust survivor. And Amelia Perez won for Best Musical Comedy. So that is a new Selena Gomez film that's on Netflix.
I have thoughts about this. I would like to watch it, so I have my original thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I've seen a lot of discourse about this film. So it's a musical. It is a musical because there's like singing in it, but it's all in Spanish, mm-hmm. and it's about the Mexican cartel and how they take people and make them do their deeds and all that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are saying that like this is about the female perspective on this and about Mexican culture. And the weird thing is the people behind making this film are all from France and they're all men and they only spoke French. So it was like a very weird just comeuppance of this film.
I mean,
like,
who wrote it, though?
All French people.
Interesting. Well, they must have some perspective on it or else they wouldn't have written it.
Yeah. A lot of people say that the movie's like a trip. Like,
it looks like it from the visuals I've seen. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to watch it because
It's on Netflix.
It's easy to watch. Selena Gomez is in it. I'd love to see her acting in it. So yeah. I'm excited. I'm going to watch it. Cynthia just asked me if I want to watch it. So we're probably watching it next week. And Demi Moore. One for mm-hmm. Substance. And did you see the video of her family getting all excited? Oh, my God. It made me cry.
She's 62.
And it's the first time she's ever won anything as an actress.
That is insane.
Yeah. And I was so happy for her.
No, me too. That and her speech was beautiful. And it made me feel all the feels.
So every week we've been talking about casting for this new Christopher Nolan film. It was announced over the break that the new Christopher Nolan film is an adaptation of The Odyssey Okay, Homer's Odyssey. It's described as a mythic action epic that follows a 10-year journey home after the Trojan War. And if you don't remember, it's starring Tom Holland, Zendaya, Anne Hathaway, Matt Damon, Lupita Nyong'o, and Robert Pattinson. Okay?
I think like Charlize Theron too,
yeah,
right?
They don't include her in this article that I saw. So I didn't have her on this little list. But yeah, we've announced that in a different episode. I am so fucking excited. I didn't love Troy from that era of...
Yeah, I didn't either.
But I love Christopher Nolan films, so I have more faith in him.
Alex got obsessed this year with The Odyssey, and we watched...
Really?
The 1980s version, and it was what? Shite.
Well, it was the 1980s version.
Alex was like, yes, this is everything I've been waiting for. I feel like everyone in it is going to have a small role. I just want to know who has like the longest role, like who's going to be playing.
I feel like Anne Hathaway has a bigger role because she was posted first.
Katie says the first female translation of the Iliad Odyssey came out over the last 5 to 10 years, and it's incredible and gives the story of a whole new life. Highly recommend giving it a try. Oh.
Ooh. This new Kristen Stewart, Stephen Yeun movie called Love Me. Did you see the trailer?
I didn't watch the
whole thing because I just got so excited. I was like, I don't want to see anymore.
Well, I first saw the trailer on TikTok of like Kristen Stewart and Stephen Yeun like acting like a YouTube couple.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So it's an AI love story. So it's kind of like WALL-E-esque. There's this like satellite and this other thing, and they gather, you know, like all of the information about people through our media and stuff. So they like form themselves, I'm thinking, through like AI means, and then they probably talk through like pictures of, you know, like AI selves, like they, like Kristen is one of them and Steven's the other.
It sounds weird, but I think
it
I'm gonna like it.
Weird, but I'm excited.
Yeah, I've never seen that movie Her.
I never watched it either. It was really sad, I heard. That's why I didn't like.
Yeah, I'd pursue it.
You know, I tried watching it actually a couple years ago, and I watched the first 10 minutes and I wasn't taken. Last in the news, my name's Christine. I'm an author and I have a book out called Attached at the Hip. If you haven't read it yet, someone just made a video on Instagram saying that it's more than Survivor to them. It feels like Love Island. And I'm like, well, I've never seen Love Island. But if you like Love Island, you'll probably like it too. And if you like just fun books, late bloomery and funny, and it's a rom-com, and it's available now, and the link is in the show notes. And my two other books, like I'm a Better and Better Together, are on Kindle Unlimited, if you didn't know. So you can read them for free if you have Kindle Unlimited, or you can read them on other ways if you prefer. But yeah, and if you have read any of my books and enjoyed them, it is super, super helpful to me and my author career if you review them on the platform where you read them. So Amazon, for example, if you got your book there or you read it there, super, super helpful to leave a quick review if you liked it, because that's how Amazon like promotes books to new people. It's based off of like people leaving reviews. And that's true for most sites and stuff. So leaving a review is really, really helpful. And if you have already, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
We also have merch available.
Oh, yeah. We didn't add that. We've got merch, thoseworkingfangirls.com.
I still need to wear our sweatshirt. I haven't done that yet.
I have all of our stuff now. I've been wearing the sweatshirt like over and over again. And I'm like, I got to stop wearing this because I'm going to wear it out. I just love new sweatshirts so much. All right. Let's move into what right now. Did you read any books over the break?
So technically, no. I started Bloody, Slutty, and Pathetic, which is a Germaine fanfic.
It sounds like one.
I started reading that a couple days ago, and I really like it. I think the writing is a little not my fave. Like, I'm editing it as I'm reading it, and I think it's going to get better as it goes along because I was reading it more this morning. Okay, just want you guys all to be aware, I am going to be talking about Harry Potter outside of the fan fiction realm and what I've been up to during break. Just like making everyone aware of this, I don't support J.K. Rowling, and I'm trying my hardest not to ever like give her money. Okay, so I had the inkling, and I wanted to play a video game, and I got Hogwarts Legacy secondhand, so nice. I didn't pay for it. And I have been playing that game, and I've been obsessed. So I know controversial to like talk about it. And if you guys ever want to play it, I would encourage you to find it secondhand or other ways you can find it without paying for it. But that's what I've been doing all of break, playing Hogwarts Legacy. Because last year, Alex and I played Baldur's Gate. And it's like we have such a fun time doing games together. Because he's always been like such a gamer guy. And he's been playing the new game Marvel Rivals, but he plays it upstairs in his room. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
I think I have heard of it, but I don't know what it is. I've just heard of it.
Yeah, it's just like this like online like fighting game where like you play different Marvel characters. And I'm like, well, I want to play something. So I got Hogwarts Legacy secondhand, and I've been playing that, and I've been having a joyous time. I've been having a good time, but it has prevented me from reading because that's what I've been doing. I mean, super sick too, and that's all I could do.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were sick. So. I have been prevented from reading from being on deadline, but I did read my book again after writing it. My first adult book. People were, or a couple people were asking me, like, isn't Attached at the Hip an adult book? And technically it's crossover, but technically I was signed on to do a young adult book, even though, like, they're a crossover mm-hmm. Imprint. So this is my first one that'll, like, technically be labeled adult.
Yeah. Is Attached at the Hip, like, in the YA section, or is it?
Sometimes it's in the adult section, like, in the romance section. So people have sent me pictures and I've gotten really excited because it is like a 23-year-old rom-com. So but yeah, I haven't read anything else. I will be reading Iron Flame these next few days because we are recording an Iron Flame episode on Saturday. TV shows, can I talk about Squid Game? Because I'm dying to.
Yes, we just started it last night.
Okay, so I did a rewatch of Squid Game season one on my writing breaks, and like it was so nice watching it a second time because I was able to appreciate it without like dying because I was so anxious the first time about what was gonna happen because there's a lot of murdering happening in Squid Game and you don't want your faves to go. So you're like the whole time, and watching it a second time, like Squid Game, it's so good. It's such a good story, and the characters are so good, and they really evolve and grow on you. And I just love it. It's really giving the Hunger Games. And so the second time I was able to watch it so chill on my writing breaks and just enjoy it. And then I started season two. I was like, all right, I don't know if I should be watching this on writing breaks.
Were you like sucked in?
Yeah, I was down to episode 6 on Saturday. Okay, and to frame this, Monday was my deadline, and I still had like 40% of my book to go through because I was rewriting a lot at that point. And I was like, oh my God, there's only 7 episodes, and I have 1.5 episodes left. How am I supposed to fucking not finish this right now? I ended up finishing it on like a mental breakdown break. Because I had a mental breakdown on Saturday. I was dying. And I was like, well, I guess this is my excuse to finish Squid Game season 2. Okay, season 2 was great, but it feels like half of one of the fucking Netflix half seasons. Not half, but like it's not the full. It feels like you don't have the full thing. The second half, which is season 3, it's not called a second half, but season 3 is coming out in 2025, which is great because they filmed back to back season 2 and 3. But when you get to the finale of season 2, you're like, where's the last 2 episodes?
Oh, no.
I mean, yeah. That's how it ends. It's great. But also you're like, excuse me? Where's the end?
Well, all right. I guess I can make sure that myself, when I watch it, I'm like, all right,
You're prepared.
I'm prepared.
Yeah. Cheyenne said, I read that it was written as one season, but too long. That makes sense.
I don't like that. Because then you're just like, ugh. But for like the whole year, you're kind of, it's like in the back of your brain, like it lives rent free back there until like you get the second half because it's not finished up.
Well, it doesn't feel as unfinished as some things because I know that it's coming. Okay. Like if it didn't come out, if it, I didn't know it was coming out in 2025, I'd be pissed. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's coming out in like June. I mean, that's what John told me, but I didn't see it in writing. So don't take me at my June word there. But June is so soon. Okay, Cheyenne says that's what I read too, but it wasn't official. Okay, cool. I also watched during my writing break when I finished Squid Game, Dad Man Walking, and it's Seth Meyers' new special, and it's on Max, and I laughed my head off the entire time. I had the best time watching Dad Man Walking. Seth Meyers, I love him. I think he's so funny, and he's really quick, and he's really on it, and his humor is, it evolves with the times really well, and I highly recommend watching Dad Man Walking. Like, I was just solid. It's about his kids and him being a dad, and it's so funny. It's so relatable, even if you don't have kids. I loved it. I also have been watching season 3 of Sex Lives of College Girls, and it's so good. I'm just really happy with the new characters, and I've started rewatching as a comfort watch when I was having my mental breakdown then, too. I've started from the beginning of season 1. I just love that show so much. What have you been watching?
Okay, I was watching Sex Lives of College Girls yesterday as well, and I love how Renee Rapp leaves the show, and then they bring in a British version of her character to the show, except with like a dead dad.
Well, she's also younger and like,
I mean, she's younger, but different. She's also like has the same haircut and she's also gay.
Yeah, but she's like not in their room. Like they really brought in the other girl, the theater girl. Well, yeah, girl.
It's just funny how I just think it's very similar.
I think they're nodding to her with her character, but like she's pretty different. She has this like mentor relationship with Bella.
That's true.
And I love the new roommate. Like she's very different and has a lot of different issues that we're going to end up dealing with.
I just think it's funny. Like they have two characters, like they brought in two new characters to like
to replace
fill in the spot.
Yeah, but they're doing great with it. Like,
oh, I know.
They're doing good.
So I didn't watch a lot of television because I've been watching other things and playing other things. But I did watch Flowers in the Attic, The Origin.
Wait, the book adaptation? Or what is that?
Yeah, so, well, Flowers in the Attic, no, it's from the, 70s, I think.
Yeah, I read the book in school.
Yeah. Then they adapted it. I think in like 2009 or 10.
I remember I watched something. Yeah, I think it was earlier than that.
And so they made an origin show, and I kept getting GIFs of this show on Pinterest, and like I was intrigued because the actors in it are we know, and it's Francesca from Bridgerton, like the new actress playing Francesca. And then Max Irons.
From The Host.
Who hasn't literally done anything.
Friends with Stephanie.
Since, like, he was 24, okay? He's now, like, 39. And
he was older than 24 for The Host.
Okay, he was... I mean, he was probably like 26. And then he did White Queen, which in his like early 30s, like 31. But then maybe, or he was like 29, but he has literally done nothing. And he did this show and he plays like the evil father in it. And it like starts at the beginning of this family, well, kind of, and like their issues. And it's a terrible story. but I was
I don't
like,
remember liking it.
I was like semi intrigued because it's like kind of taboo in ways, and I'm like, well, how does this all pan out? And then then Francesca's in it, and they also have this really hot guy whom I follow on TikTok. I had no idea. He's like this Scottish country singer. And he's in the show, and so I wanted to watch it for Max Irons. I haven't seen that man in like forever, and his character is just an abomination. He's not a well liked man at all. He's terrible. Wow. But anyways, watch that, It was fine. I don't think I would recommend people to watch it unless they're curious and want to see Francesca start.
Oh my God. What about movies?
Okay. First of all, I did go to the movie theater right before I got sick, and I did see Nosferatu. Mm-hmm. And my thoughts on the film are, it's very similar to the 1922 version. It was beautifully shot. I can admire it for that. I liked it well enough. It was a great film, but was it anything new? I don't think so. I think he kind of missed the mark. Like, I think he could have taken it in a different way. But I did like the perspective Taya gave me when I went into it, where you had to kind of think of that it's kind of a metaphor. Some of it is a metaphor on the suppression of women's sexuality in the 19th century and onwards. So I liked it for that and for it being like kind of like a spicy version of the 1922 mm-hmm. film.
All I can think of when I hear the name Nosferatu is the SpongeBob episode, my favorite episode, the one with the night shift. And randomly at the end when the lights are flickering on and off, they just turn, they're like, Nosferatu! And then there's a random shot from the 1920s movie of this like vampire turning on off and off the light. And that's literally, when I saw this movie was coming out, I was like, Nosferatu, the SpongeBob reference?
Well, you didn't watch any of... Did you watch the 1922 version?
No, why would I want to watch that?
I've seen clips.
I haven't watched the whole film. But, you know, I heard of the film eventually after SpongeBob. But, like, I didn't want to watch it. And then when this was coming out, I just keep thinking of my favorite episode of SpongeBob. Have you seen that episode? Tuesday night, the hash slinging, the slash slinging.
Oh, yes, of
the
course.
The hash slinging slasher. Sure.
Katie says, all I heard about this movie was his little tiny legs at the end and people laughing in theaters.
What?
I mean, if you want to see it, you should go see it. Or
I'm not going to see it.
All right, you want me to spoil it?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to spoil it a little bit. And as Katie said, here's where I get on my soapbox again and recommend everyone read Dracula because it's A+. Okay, so Nosferatu is Dracula. It's just like a slightly different version. So Nosferatu never becomes gorgeous, okay? If you ever saw the 1980s version with Gary Oldman and Keanu Reeves. Gary Oldman plays Dracula. Have you never seen it?
No.
Lily Rose Depp basically like gives her soul to Dracula because he's like a demon and an undead demon, okay? And then she marries Nicholas Holt. And up until the time she marries him, she's having all these spouts of being possessed at night. And he's basically giving her pleasure through like their
interactions.
Yeah, that or like their connection, okay? And so she marries Nicholas Holt. This all stops. She's happy. She's loved. And then Nicholas Holt has to go to Transylvania because his boss tells him, like, hey, you need to get this contract signed for this new house. And his boss is actually working with Nosferatu and the devil, blah, blah, blah. So he travels in the 1800s all the way to Transylvania, and he gets, like, locked away in Nosferatu's tower and signs a contract in blood, giving his wife away to Nosferatu. And then meanwhile, Lily Rose Depp is back home and having these bouts again. And she's like, he's coming. And then Aaron Taylor Johnson and the girl who plays Diana in The Crown are like taking care of her. And Aaron Taylor Johnson's doing his best, but he can't seem to like cure her and like help her, and all these doctors come in. So then we have Willem Dafoe comes in, and he's like this.
Why is Willem Dafoe in every movie playing
Willem Dafoe
weird doctor part?
He literally is. Because the director and him have like a great friendship. He's been in almost every single one.
I literally see him. I feel like I've seen him in everything lately. He's just there. Like, what is Willem Dafoe doing here? He was randomly in the fucking Saturday Night, the movie that I watched. And I was like, Willem Dafoe, why are you here?
So, so they're trying to cure her, and then Nosferatu, like Dracula, sails on the ship over to London, or Germany actually, where they're in. But like in Dracula, he has to come with like his land, because he can't leave that castle unless he has like the dirt of his ancestors. And so he makes his way to Germany. He brings like a plague and like starts killing people, and he never becomes handsome. He's just this ugly like tall man with this big forehead, and it's a Skarsgård. It's the guy who plays it. What's his name?
Yeah, not Alexander Skarsgård.
Bill, thank you, Olenka. Yeah, I was really waiting for Nosferatu to look handsome. I was like, I know Bill Skarsgård is underneath all of that, and I want to see him, okay? It looks nothing like Bill Skarsgård. He sounds like Nosferatu.
Nosferatu.
It's not even his voice. Olenka
just
said.
Like in SpongeBob.
So he finally makes it over to Germany, brings the plague, and then Nicholas Holt makes his way back to his wife, and she's saved again. And they have, like, and she finally confesses that she's, like, given her soul to Nosferatu. And then they have, like, sex. And he's like, you're mine. And then she does, like, her possession thing, like, while they're having sex. She's like,
oh, wow.
And then Willem Dafoe's like, we have to kill him tonight. And Nosferatu comes to her at one point, and she's like, I'm not going to give myself away to you. And he's like, you have to. And he's like, you have 3 nights. And then in that time, Aaron Taylor Johnson dies. Diana from The Crown dies. Their children die.
Are they murdered by Nosferatu?
Yes. Well, kind of. Diana was given the plague by the rats, and then Aaron Taylor Johnson. But then Nosferatu, there was a scene where Nosferatu kills the two little girls. That's the worst scene ever. And then finally, they're like, we have to kill him. Will and Foe's like, we have to kill him tonight. And then they go out to his home, and they try to find him, while Lily Rose Depp knows, like, in her soul, she's the one who has to kill him. And so while they're off on their adventure, Nosferatu comes to her place. And then she takes him in with warm, loving hands, and they have sex. And at the very end, she's making him stay until daylight, and he's like continuing to feed on her. And then the daylight rises, and then he perishes, and she dies as well. And then the camera zooms
up. She dies as well.
She dies as well. The camera zooms up, and all you see is him with his big bulbous head and his like torso with these long skinny little legs on top of her, with like her legs open and blood all over like her abdomen.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You. Why did she have to kill him like that? Why couldn't she stab him?
I don't know. You know, that's just how it had to happen.
Katie says, no, for real. There are so many parallels between the book Dracula and Harry Potter. Like, Voldemort is literally Dracula 2.0. Wow. All right. Well, I have no interest in watching it. I feel like I just got Cliff Notes version.
Yeah. That's some of the visuals are very beautiful. So I mean, if you've seen the clips of it, then you'll know.
So I watched Saturday Night, and I've been wanting to watch this for a long time. It's about Dylan O'Brien's in it. That's why I really, really wanted to watch it. But I also am interested in like the history of Saturday Night Live. So Saturday Night Live turned 50 this year, and they started on October 11th, 1975. And it is the night that they're trying to put on their first episode, and it's like the 120 minutes or 90 minutes. I think it's 90 minutes. It's the 90 minutes leading up to going live. And that is literally what it is. I was expecting like an arc and like getting to know the characters, and you know the characters are real people obviously, but I thought we were gonna like get to know them. Mm. But really, like, you're seeing like the 90 minutes and it's pure chaos. Mm. And I hate Chevy Chase. It's crazy how many of those people I don't know. Like, I know Lorne Michaels obviously, and he's like heading the show, and the big thing here is like it's a bunch of 20-year-olds trying to put on a show. And they got green lighted because two networks are like fighting over something in their contracts or someone. I can't even remember already, but like they just needed something to fill the slot for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So they hired the kids to fill it, thinking that the show's just going to tank. And a million things go wrong leading up to the live, but then it goes right, obviously. Huh. And it was interesting to watch, but there were points where like I was kind of getting bored because I'm not invested in any of the people because I haven't been, you know, storied into knowing them at all. I only am invested in like Lorne Michaels doing well and the show going off without a hitch. But like, I wish I knew them. Like, it was just not what I was expecting. I went in like expecting a story, and really, you're like, you're in it for 90 minutes with them, and they go live at the end.
Got it. Yeah, you kind of wanted like more of like a backstory, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted the history of these mm-hmm. people, how they got here, what we're doing. Like, I wanted the conflict. I wanted the arc. mm-hmm. I wanted the joy of also like seeing the show go on. Because I didn't see it in 1975. Like, I've never seen the first episode. I guess it's probably available somewhere. Like, you know, you get snippets of all the bits, and I guess people who know it are like, oh, that's this sketch and this sketch. And I'm just like, I don't know the sketches because I wasn't there.
Yeah. I was a little too young, but not really. I mean, like, if you
see you could look it up. Yeah. I feel like it's not a movie with an arc. It's like a slice of life. And then the other thing I watched was The Holiday. You recommended The Holiday. I watched it. I don't find Emma Roberts to have good comedic timing. And so it was kind of ruining it for me. Aww. I can't believe her. She's not very funny to me. And she gives mean. Mm. So like I don't know why she gives mean so hard. But like, she plays mean characters in the stuff that I like her in. And so I have a hard time having her as my leading lady.
But I like the hijinks of it.
I like the idea of it. It was like cheesier than I wanted it to be at parts, but it was entertaining.
I'm glad you were entertained. Yeah. I still have to talk about my two little bits that also I went through and watched.
Oh, tell us.
So I rewatched all of the Marvel films.
That's wild.
I missed a bunch because Alex was like, oh, I really want to rewatch the Marvel films because he's been playing the Marvel Rivals game. So he watched a lot of like phase one and phase two without me. And I then kind of like went on and I watched like my favorites with him. And then we started watching the new ones. Like, we've only seen a couple of those once. And actually, like, I rewatched Eternals and I liked it a lot better. Like, having perspective on it now.
Interesting.
I do still think the script could have needed a lot of work, and that there's a couple like aspects of it that I didn't truly love, that didn't like hit the nail. Like, they did a lot of telling us and not a lot of showing us. Mm-hmm. And like, for people who might not get it, didn't like that one as much. But then we started rewatching some of the TV shows. Like, we rewatched all of Hawkeye, and now we're watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Nice. It's been pretty fun, Alex and I, just like going through all the Marvel films again and rewatching them. Also, we showed our cousins, well, Miley. So I had my two cousins over for the week of Christmas, with my nephew Bodhi, and Sailor has been reading Harry Potter to Bodhi. So that was super fun. And then Sailor's like, I don't think he's old enough to watch the films yet, so we're not gonna have him watch them yet. But we watched Goblet of Fire, Order of the Phoenix, and then Half-Blood Prince, all with Miley.
Nice.
And at the end of it, because we didn't get to watch Deathly Hallows, Miley's like, wait, Harry's getting together with Ginny? And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. And she's like, and like during like the whole kiss scene in Half-Blood Prince, she's like, oh, I don't like this.
Yeah, it's way better in the book.
Like, it's so awkward. And then at the end of it,
they
she's like,
it in the movies.
at the end of it, she's like, Hermione gets together with Draco, right?
Oh my God.
I died. The only reason why she thinks that is because I'm so crazy about Hermione that she thinks it's canon.
Oh boy.
Oh my God. So
that's really, did you tell her? Or did
yes,
you really,
I started oh, laughing.
Oh my God. Like, it would be so funny if she just read the books.
I started laughing and I was like, I'm like, I want that to happen in my head, but no, honey, that does not happen. And she's like, oh, okay. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to tell you who she gets together with, though.
I, like, knew from the very beginning that she was going to get together from Ron from, like, their interactions. We're going to roll on into our main show, okay, our main discussion. But before that, we're going to take a second, thank everybody for being here today. We appreciate you so much. We're so happy that you're here listening to the show. If you haven't already, we'd love if you followed it for free in your favorite podcast listening app so you don't miss an episode. It's free. It's easy. You click the follow button, you get a notification. And if you like watching the show, we're on YouTube, youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls. Hello. You can subscribe there for free so you never miss a video episode. And if you want to support the show, because we're a viewer-supported show, we have a Patreon. And let me tell you, we are so grateful for your support. We could not do this without our patrons. Thank you so much. We have lots of fun perks, and the most consistent one is at the $5 level and up, you get our extra show every single week called Fangirl Tea Time. It's half an hour. We talk. We tell a lot of funny stories. We talk a lot about more personal things, and we love our community there, and that's just at the end of every episode. Once you become a patron, it just goes right into it. So That's called Fangirl Tea Time. You can get a free 7-day trial of the $5 level. Try it out. See if you like it before you commit. And if you commit annually, you get like a 16% discount, or you can just subscribe month to month. It's $5 a month. That's like a coffee every month. And we have two other levels too. The Team Edward level at $10 and Team Polis Bananas level. At the Team Polis Bananas level, we do a fangirl bonding Zoom session every month. We get to know each other really well. It's super fun. That's coming up for this week. We have our fangirl bonding, so that's going to be fun. For our Team Polis Bananas patrons. So if you want to join that community, we'd really, really love if you did. And we love the community there. Like, honestly, it's so nice. We get to know everybody, and you get to come to the live shows when you're at the $5 level and up and be a part of the conversation. When we're talking to people in the chat who are our patrons, and we love getting their two cents. They add so much to the show and bring us so much joy. And, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And we're going to roll right on in to our main show. If you are a patron, we're going right on in. If not, we'll be right back.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
These messages. We are back. And we're talking things that we want to do in the new year. And I think it's nice to kick it off with this topic, Natasha, that you sent over last night. Mm-hmm. About being intentional about seeing friends and family. Do you want to start us off?
So I kind of noticed a trend going on, at least like in my friend group and in my family, of people canceling like a lot, like last minute things, and not just like, you know, the casual hangout, but more of like when someone plans a party or a dinner party or a get together, and then the day of, they're canceling or they can't make it. Yeah. And I myself, I'm not going to say it's like we're all guilty of this too, of canceling last minute when you can't make things or you don't have time for it. But I was doing that a lot in like 2021, 2022, especially coming out like right after the pandemic and like saying yes to everything and then being like, whoa, it's too much. And I tried to make it like, I tried to stop doing that. And when I now see people in my life who are canceling all the time, it was bothering me. And I had to talk to people. It's upsetting. And I had to talk to people about it. I'm like, you know, you're not canceling on my things, but you're canceling on like other friends' things. And when that happens, it takes a long time to build up that trust again. Mm-hmm. And to know, like, will that person show up for me?
Yeah. I've always been very conscious of this. I hate canceling on anything, and I only do it if I really feel like I have to. But it has become a trend. It's become a joke, I feel like, more and more in memes over the past couple of years, that like canceling, and I understand boundaries and stuff, but I just wish that I feel like if you can't go to something, if you feel like, because you know kind of what your capacity is going to be when you look at your schedule. And if you think that you can't go, just tell them that you can't go. Because a lot of times people will say yes. You'll plan for them to be there. Mm-hmm. And then the day of, and it's only like maybe 5-day difference from when you invited, or 2 weeks maybe. And the day of, they'll cancel. And it's so much worse also the day of than like 3 days before. Mm-hmm. like just be conscious and intentional about saying yes to things. And like when you say yes, I take that as like a commitment to going, unless you're sick or like something bad happens. It's really upsetting when it's just because like, oh, I don't feel like it today.
Yes.
Yeah.
The like, I'm too tired. Like, I mean, I've done a lot this week. So like, do I really need to go to this thing? Like, I don't think so. But
it's just like, don't say yes.
So my friend Taylor Toro sent me a thread of talking about like this type of subject. And I really connected with two of the articles. They're on Substack. And the one is "The I Owe Nothing to Anyone Is Making Us Lonelier" by Isra Nazir. At its core, showing up for others is about care, connection, and trust. It's also about embracing the occasional inconvenience that meaningful relationships require, showing up, even when it's inconvenient. Mm-hmm. It builds trust and strengthens bonds. At the same time, honoring your boundaries ensures that the care you give is sustainable and genuine. You do owe others something, your presence, your care, and your effort, but you also owe yourself something, the self-awareness to balance showing up for others with showing up for yourself. Mm. I also, in the last few years, have like multiple of my friends, like Christine, if you've been in Tea Time, I overextend myself. And then that gets me into trouble. So I think there's a really fine line in showing up for yourself. Because if you show up for yourself and you know what your capacity is, then you can show up best for others.
Yep.
So you kind of have to be truthful with like what your energy levels are like, and knowing beforehand when you get that invite, like, okay, it's in a month from now, I have this and this and this going on. Mm-hmm. Am I able to also take on this and show up for my friends, and knowing if that's going to be your yes or a no, and staying truthful to that? It's better to say no like at the
ahead
beginning
of time. Yes.
Than canceling last minute, because the work and effort that people put into, like if I ever have like a dinner party and I'm, that means I'm cleaning my house and I'm spending a whole day doing that. I am making sure that I am ordering enough food for people to eat. When someone cancels, and especially if it's a small dinner party, just one person will throw off the whole thing. And it's just, it's rude.
Yeah. And it's upsetting, like when someone acts like they're excited to go to something and then ends up dipping last minute. Because it just feels like they're not being truthful when they say those things to you. Mm-hmm. And I have learned this, I feel like, through the years of living in LA, not like that I ever said yes to things, but like you have to go to things to show people you care and that you want to be friends. Mm-hmm. And that first invite to something is very important. And like, I've gone out of my way a lot this past last year, like driving farther, because I want to show people that I
want to be a friend. You know what I mean? Like, and I will drive like the 2 hours and 2 hours back because like it matters. It does matter showing up for that thing because, or if you don't, it sends a different message, you know, like it's like, oh, this is too far. I don't think it's like, I don't think it's worth my time to be friends. That's what it kind of says in my head. Mm-hmm. And then like, they don't reach out again because like, if you're too far all the time, it's never worth it to go see them. Then why pursue the friendship?
Yeah. Well, then we get into like the territory of friends who are like long distance friendships.
Yes. Yes.
And like how the only way to show for that person is like the occasional text, but like consistency matters. It's not just like you have to do these big grand endeavors all the time to show that you care, but just to be like, hey, how are you doing? Like, how is this, like, what's going on here? And just checking in and all that.
Yeah. And long distance friendships, like, there's lots of different levels. Like, you don't have to be obviously texting all the time.
Yeah.
You can, like, every couple of weeks call each other. Like, there's lots of different levels there. But I feel like this is more like in-person friendship. These are the people that you can see in your life. And when you do make plans with them, it's important that you show up or you don't tell them ahead of time that like, this isn't going to work for me at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Katie says, I'm very passionate about this. Like, I hate that I don't owe anybody anything mindset. I will always believe that human beings owe each other kindness and decency. It's what happens when people pleasing ends up hurting people because it keeps you from being honest about when you can't do things.
The Instagram little thing that you sent me, which is the quote from like the Substack, said like, before you cancel, have a stern chat with yourself. A couple times in the last few months, I've made plans with someone and then told my partner I feel like canceling, and he helpfully but annoyingly presses me. Is this choice consistent with what you actually want? Because once you do that, it starts a pattern. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of addictive. It's like ordering DoorDash. You cancel plans. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to put in any effort. And it felt good for that moment. But what it does is make that person feel less like they want to hang out with you the next time because you blew them off last minute.
I just, people just can't just stop being in my life because of the whole canceling aspect. And I would like for it to stop.
Yeah. And I think there's a line. There's reasons that are legitimate reasons to cancel something. But then there's like the laziness reason that's almost just like, I don't want to put in the effort. And that's sad that we do that. It is making us lonelier. That is the culture of social media. I feel like invading society and being social.
People who go to work and they come home, like they're burnt out. They've been talking to people all day. And then they go online and they can just disassociate from life. When like we're meant to be able to have meaningful connections
in a society. Yeah.
And we have, when we have social media, that makes us feel like we're in people's lives all the time.
Yeah.
And like, that's been one of my, I think, things that I hate about my family and my like longtime best friends just following me on social media is that they feel like they know what's going on in my life because I post it on social media. And they don't check in.
Yeah, it's not the same. And then you don't know anything about them because they're not posting anything. Again, like last year I was making such a big effort to like do things, and it's so different. Like, you do get that like weird, like I know what's going on in their lives through social media, but seeing people and doing things brings like a whole new spirit into your life, actually being out in the world and doing things with people and like having experiences is so beautiful. And you don't get that experiences together, memory situation, bonding situation, if you're just like looking at each other on Instagram.
Yeah. Just going through the motions of going to work, coming home, and then like your weekend is either just with your partner or, and you're not actually taking the time
engaging
in community.
Yeah, I think it really also just makes you happier. It makes you feel more connected in a visceral way, whereas online is kind of like a surface way a lot of the time.
Katie said, my parents lost touch with all their friends because they had a million kids and now they're in their 60s and they're having a hard time building their social life again. And it's so sad.
Hard.
I just, like, my parents, they didn't have friends. Like, I mean, they were going through all their mental health issues and all that. And addiction issues, but like, I wonder what my life would have been like if they actually had real true friends that showed up for them and were there for them.
Yeah.
Long story short here, we want to be intentional about making plans and showing up for our friends and loved ones when we do things this year.
Yeah. And also, like, I think if someone, I've not been afraid of talking to people if they have been canceling more often than not. And I was like, hey, you know, this thing kind of hurt. I sent this thing over to Taya last night, actually, that was in that same article that I just read, because she's having some trouble with some friends right now. And it says some reminders on how to be in community. So this is like for boundary setting, and I've never really thought of it this way. But boundary setting is not the same thing as cutting someone off abruptly or ghosting them. You owe them a conversation. Telling your truth is not the same thing as weaponizing honesty. You owe them compassion. Self-care is not the same thing as avoiding accountability. You owe them an apology. Mm-hmm. Protecting your peace is not the same thing as shutting people out. You owe them communication. Cutting out toxic people is not the same thing as avoiding conflict. You owe them clarity. And prioritizing yourself is not the same thing as neglecting others. You owe them consistency. Mm-hmm. We don't need to abandon boundaries, but we do need to remember mutuality. Relationships require give and take. Community thrives on effort and care. And connection, though often inconvenient, is what makes life worth living.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put this article, we're going to put it in the description if you guys want
to. I mean, when it comes down to it, it's like you have to lead with kindness.
Yeah.
Mental health is not an excuse to be an asshole. That's basically what it is, because people will just use it as an excuse to like not talk to people for ages, never answer anything, never give any explanation. Like, I've had friends do this to me in the past 2 years. It's just like they disappear and you reach out and reach out and reach out and you get nothing back. And not only does that make the person reaching out feel like you hate them, but it's like very worrying, because they're like, what's going on? Like, what's wrong? Is something truly happened to that friend? You'll never know. And you care about them. Like, it's cruel.
It is cruel. So, and yeah, it's happened to me too. Like, just get ghosted for no reason. Mm-hmm. What did I do?
It's really hard, because you go through this whole mental thing about like, what did you do to them to deserve this sort of a treatment? And really, it's just about them, but they're not letting you know. So
yeah, communication's key, guys. That's why we hate the miscommunication
trope. I know. I know. But like, the fact of the matter is that shit happens all the time with youths, because they're not good at communication.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What's another thing that you want to be intentional about in the new year, Natasha?
So if you guys have not been in the patron and you're casual listeners, I kind of mentioned it in the last two episodes, but I am officially starting cosmetology school.
Woo!
In a week from the time of recording this, but in like 4 days from the time this episode goes live. I'm very anxious about it.
Understandably.
I'm going to tell you guys, I decided to do a full-time schedule, because I'm going to get done with it in 6 months. So this is going to be the first half of my year in 2025. Is literally, it's like a job. It's Tuesday through Saturday. So my weekend is Sunday and Monday. And I go, it starts at 8:30, ends at 5:30. I have to be there early, because if I'm late, it counts against the time on my time card, because I have to complete, I had to complete 1,000 hours to be able to go for my test. This is a big life change, at least in the first 6 months. I mean, I've had a very like cushy schedule for the last 3 years, ever since I quit my job, ever since we started this podcast, really. And it's going to be a lot to go to school and then also work at the same time, like going to school full time, working a lot. So I am going to try to set myself up for success. This is a phrase I've been using a lot recently. And my brother, who is like, has in the past has been like very lazy and inconsistent, he has been the most consistent with his new job over the last year. Like, he is like, his schedule, he is upstairs getting ready for bed at 9 p.m. and he's in bed by like 9:30, 9:45, and like asleep by like 10:30. And then he's up at 6 a.m. like Monday through Friday, and he has like an hour and 45 before he has to go to work. And so I'm going to try and do my best to adhere to Alex's schedule and do it along with him. I'm really bad at doing the whole revenge procrastination at what, night.
Did you say revenge procrastination? Yeah. You're like, I need this time to relax now.
Exactly. Yeah. I just know I can foresee myself. What's going to happen is that I'm going to be working. I mean, I'm going to be at school and like get off at 5:30, get home at 6, like have 3 hours to basically like eat. And probably I'm going to have to work, like write some emails, edit some stuff, get things ready to be posted in the morning. And then I'm literally not going to have any time for myself. I'm going to be doing this for 6 months. So I'm going to get burnt out so fucking quick. But if I can adhere to like getting ready for bed at 9 so that I have enough sleep and I'm not like mad at myself the next day because I didn't get enough sleep, mm-hmm. then I feel like I will be setting myself up for success because I can't be late.
Yeah.
And I have to do this.
I've gotten so much better at that revenge procrastination thing because I'm like too tired to function. So I can't do it. I have been like, you know how I used to watch something or read something before bed every night? Like I'm too tired. So I just go to sleep. And I feel like that starts to happen. After
I feel like it's going to start to happen. I know. I'm like, well, and I'm kind of sad because like Christine and I have to basically like work with that schedule to be able to connect. We got to revamp our schedule.
Call me on your way home.
Yeah. So that is something that I'm going to try to adhere to. And then after the 6 months is up, I'm going to take a big fucking fat break because I don't think I'm going to be able to take my test for like 2 months.
Okay.
And then, well, basically within that time, like I'll be working because I'm doing this. My best friend Kayla owns a salon and I'll be working at the salon like 1 to 2, 3 times a week, depending. What about you?
The first thing on my list is much sillier.
I need to hear all the things that you've learned because okay. We've got a story about this.
Okay. So beef tallow is like the new thing in terms of clean health care for your skin.
I got served up a lot of fucking beef tallow shit on TikTok out of the blue. It's literally whipped beef fat. And then Olivia was talking about it over the break and how it's like the cleanest thing you can put on your skin. And the thing is, I do use a lot of Vaseline on my skin. Beef tallow has like a similar consistency, but like apparently it's more compatible with like human skin in terms of like you can absorb stuff from it, whereas Vaseline just provides a barrier. I know the chat here is fucking beef tallow, use it to cook. Yeah, you can eat it. That's why it's like clean.
Makes you smell like dinner.
I know. I saw people talking about the smell of it, but like they're like, you get used to it and it's a really light scent.
Oh,
but
no.
This is my thing. Okay. I just want to try using it where I put the Vaseline. So I want to put it on my lips as like a chapstick sort of a thing and put it like on my eyebrows and just see what it does, because so many people are like, my skin has completely cleared up after using beef tallow and my skin has never like been glowier and blah blah blah. And I think this is for people who have drier skin. So if you don't use Vaseline on your face, I don't know if you want to use beef tallow, but like who knows. I saw so many people who had like acne issues and stuff who was like products never work on them, they started using this. It's all over TikTok, Gabby. And it's on Amazon and stuff. I have one in my cart and we have a friend that's been using it. It's a new trend and I just want to try it because it is healthier than like putting Vaseline on my lips all the time, because you're not supposed to like eat the petroleum. I'm having like a crisis of aging this year. I've been in like an existential spiral about how fast my 30s are going and I just want to take care of my skin and I want to try the new things and not be afraid to try them, because I live in fear of putting anything on my skin because it's so sensitive, but this is supposed to be pretty sensitive, like Vaseline, like I was saying. So I want to try it.
So I got beef tallow as a white elephant, I guess.
White elephant, yeah.
At our friend Natalie's Christmas party. And I was like, what? I'm like, I've heard, I've,
I've heard of it.
That was the first time I had heard of it. And then all of a sudden TikTok was like, let me show you about beef tallow.
I've heard of beef tallow. And I was like, yeah, I can't use a lot of things on my face because I've got the periodontitis around my mouth, which showed up this time last year. So I don't know if this might be something I can't do either. It just...
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the more I learned about it, the more I was like, you might be able to try it because of the way that it's supposed to be, like, for sensitive skin, it's supposed to be okay, but never know. I also want to try the medical grade mouth taping because when I put in my retainer, like, my mouth doesn't close all the way when I'm sleeping. It, like, and I know, like, I'm forcing it closed, and I know when I'm sleeping, it's fucking opening up when I have, because I wear my full retainers on both on top and bottom every other day because I know this is happening and I don't want my mouth to be open all the time. Mm-hmm. But my skin is so sensitive to, like, the stickiness, the stuff that you put on your face. Mm-hmm. So I bought, like, skin medical grade sensitive skin version, and I tried it once and it fell off because I had Vaseline on my lips. So I don't know.
I tried using the stuff that Taylor, that I also got my White Elephant, and they just came right off my face.
I don't know, but I want to try things instead of never trying things to fix things. That's my intentional thing here. I am sick of being afraid of shit and just buying things and never using them because I'm afraid.
Katie says, I mean, I know makeup and lotion and everything is made out of unspeakable ingredients, but to openly call it beef fat is a bridge too far. Frank said the creator of Vaseline intentionally ate a spoonful a day. He lived to 96.
That's crazy. What's next for you?
Next for me is I want to start. So speaking of intentionality and
yes,
connecting with people
in person,
last year, I had the idea of, like, I really want to start a women's group with my best friends. For my entire life, I have been going to Bible studies and groups and youth groups and things like that. I haven't had something like that in my life for the last, like, 2-3 years. And I was talking to my friend Taylor Toro, who's, like, very intentional too about this stuff. And I was like, I think we should start a women's group. Like,
yeah. Well, didn't you say it at the Christmas party?
I did. We met because we're all content creators. Like, we have a lot of fun. We go to Disneyland, we get dressed up, and we do, like, fun little get togethers. But, like, I have one-on-one time with every single person, but not everyone gets to have that. And so I really want to bring everyone together and have a study group or something, not like a study, but or like questions and being intentional about the time that we take to be together and move that from, like, house to house. Like, we've got friends all the way.
Like, deeper conversations.
Yeah. Things that will trigger those deeper conversations and kind of help each other, and just to help each other in general, I guess. But move that from people's houses. So, like, if someone in LA can't come all the way down to San Diego that evening, then we'll move it up to Orange County and then up to LA, so that at least, like, once a month there's people coming and we can be intentional about the time that we take to care for one another. I really want to do this and like make it happen. I think it's going to be hard with school, so, like, I think everyone kind of have to be on board and be like, plan out where it's going to be and, like, if you can make it or not,
and not cancel at the last minute.
Yes. Katie said, like a book club, but book is life. I know. I was like, it's going to be like a Bible study, but without the Bible.
Yeah. No, it literally is a book club without the book, just to have, like, life discussions in person. You really get to know each other better. Like, this is what I basically, with my friends at home, what we did every single time we hang out, because we weren't going places. We weren't getting dressed up. We were just, like, hanging in the basement talking, and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And that's something that, yeah, as in adulthood, like, it's fun to do all these events, but you kind of never, unless you take the time to, like, have one-on-ones, you don't get to know everyone on that level. Mm-hmm. And relate to everyone on that level. Mm-hmm. The next thing I want to do this year, this is huge, and I want to stop using fucking water bottles.
Yay.
Because I buy water bottles all the time, and I know, I don't want to do it. It's because I have, like, a mental thing. It's like, it's a mental health thing where, like, I won't drink water if I don't buy the water bottles. Mm-hmm. But I bought this expensive reverse osmosis thing for my tabletop. It just came in the mail when Maya was on deadline, so I have to unbox it and put it up there. But like, it's like the cleanest water ever, and I'm going to use that and put it into reusable water bottles. This is my plan. And my plan is, like, even if I find myself being like creeped out by the straws, I'm just going to use a reusable straw, but with the water bottle. So at least I'm using way less.
I'm on the path to doing it. I just dropped $300 on this thing. So
I think it's one that Taylor has. Did she recommend it to you?
Olivia was the first one. But then you told me that Taylor has one. And I did some research after Olivia told me that they had reverse osmosis and it's the cleanest water that you could have.
Are you going to put it in your kitchen?
Yeah. So my other thing that I'm going to do is throw out my second microwave that is relevant anymore. And that's where I'm going to put the reverse osmosis thing. So
if you guys haven't been in the patron.
So if you haven't been in the patron, you haven't heard about my second microwave, but I thought my first microwave had a crack in it. There was a crack in the original one. They came and fixed it like 4 weeks later, but I couldn't go 4 weeks without a microwave. So I bought a cheapo one from Target. It's a little one on my counter now, and I used that for years. And then once they finished and fixed the other one, the new one looked like it also had a crack in it. So I didn't use it. So there was a new microwave that I never used, and I've just been using the shitty one. And then I had someone over here, and they opened up the microwave and pressed on the crack, and it was literally like the sticker wasn't flat. And it wasn't an actual crack. And so I've been using the microwave ever since. And the little dinky one is just sitting there now, and I have to throw it out. I've been trying to strengthen my pec muscles and all that since August last year. I've been doing personal trainer. But I picked up, like, I kid you not, this was like a 45-pound carry-on bag that I had with me over Christmas. And I picked it up and put it in the overhead compartment because I was so anxious. And I don't think I even bent my legs because I was so anxious. And I've been having pain in my pec the last couple of days. Oh, no. So I'm annoyed at myself. And hopefully, like, gets better faster since I've been exercising so much and using those muscles. But now I'm like, can I pick up that microwave? Can I pick up the reverse osmosis? I'm going to stop using water bottles. Hopefully the transition will take place before the end of January.
Good. I'm happy for you, and I want to see this.
Thank you. What's next for you?
Okay, so I want to try going back to church and at least go once a month because it is very important to me, mm-hmm. and see how I feel about the church without all the like trauma associated with it.
Yeah.
Over the holidays, I saw one of my fellow Disney creators who is gay and in a relationship with another man, and he was singing worship band, like in worship at this one church. And I replied to him. I was like, what church is this? Because I think I need to go. And he's like, oh my God, this is like so great. It's like right outside of Disneyland. Like, you should come. And I'm like, okay. So I want to give that a try. Probably not this month, but like next month, and go and see how I feel about it. See if I like it.
Nice. I'm glad that you found someone who's at a church that they love. That's great.
Yeah. It's like, I know that there's very accepting churches up in LA, but it's too far for me on a Sunday. I don't need to do that.
My next thing is basically a lot of these are like stop being afraid of shit because I don't have time for that anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm in my mid-30s. Like, get the fuck over it. The last 2 years, I haven't gotten the blood work with my physical because I have been so anxious and afraid that I'm going to faint. And I, first of all, too old to not be doing that. Second of all, stop. Get the fuck over it. And I know, like, maybe I will have a little fainty episode, but, like, you need to do it. So that's my next thing.
Meal prepping, because I'm
so hard.
Not going to be having time. Like, I've got 30 minutes for lunch. Like, I have to bring food or else I ain't eating.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's so short.
I have been saving like easy things to make, and I can eat things for a while, but like maybe like 4 days in a row. So maybe I'll do like I'm gonna try it. But I told Alex, I'm like, we gotta do this because it's gonna set us up for success.
Yes, set yourself up for success.
And we're gonna be spending less money and eat like better ingredients. I'm doing school so that I can force myself into a new life. Mm-hmm. Like, this life that I'm living, I love it. It's comfortable. Not really. I don't make a lot of money. But, like, I love this lifestyle, but I'm comfortable and I'm not meeting new people.
I'm not growing.
I mean, I am in like different regards.
In different ways. Yeah. Yeah.
But like, I need
to push yourself.
I need to push myself. Yeah. Exactly. So I have to do this to push myself. And this is exactly what I did when I got my first job. And I'm like, all right, just got to be uncomfortable for a minute and then have
and
everything.
And it leads to so many new things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope it leads to a husband.
I want to find a husband as well. My God. Yeah, my next thing is just like a fun thing that I just threw in here. So I'll just go really quickly. I want to go somewhere on a plane this year that I haven't been before. And usually that happens at least once a year, like Wisconsin last year. I've never been there before. Oh, I went to a lot of places. I was on a book tour.
Are you thinking like abroad?
I don't know. I mean, it's not, I don't have like money coming in to like go anywhere really far. I just want to like go somewhere. You know, it doesn't have to be abroad.
We should go to Hawaii.
I want to go to Hawaii so much, and I've never been there.
After school.
If we can find, like, yeah, a good budgeted trip.
If I can get a hotel gifted, then we're going.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Yeah, I just want to go somewhere new. Like, life's too short to not go somewhere new every year. Should I just jump to the next one because that was so short? Because the next one's short, too. I want to fucking finish a book series as an adult. I'm so sick of not getting through the end of series because I'm too busy and too distracted by 50 other things. And that series, I kind of have this locked and loaded already. It's going to be the Empyrean series. I'm catching up this week. And
finally,
I will be reading the third one because we're going to do an episode about it. So over being behind. There's so many romantasy series now that I just like know nothing about. I honestly am not that interested in fantasy right now. You know, you just get in different moods. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been interested in it. So like all these romantasy series that are blowing up, I can't really bring myself to want to read them right now. Mm-hmm. But I feel really like out of the loop and I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I forgot to talk about this in my last one. But my goal this year is to not be hot all the time. And that requires me to be more active.
Okay.
And to healthily lose weight.
Okay.
Because I create a lot of heat in my body when I move, and it's very uncomfortable for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be this way anymore. Mm-hmm. So, gotta set myself up for success.
Yes. Yes, the mantra of the year.
And Gabby, but you are hot all the time. Thanks. I think like going to school every day and being on my feet and walking around is really gonna help. And it was like when I started my like hostessing job. I mean, I was still, but I wasn't like sweating profusely all the time. So,
mm-hmm. Do you want to do another one?
Okay. This goes to my sewing stuff. I would like to make a gown every other month or maybe every quarter for the public. Because I had a lot of success selling my newest wedding gown, which I will talk about more in tea time. But I have stipulations now. I will not be making a dress for free anymore. I have my pricing listed out.
Good.
If anyone wants anything, I'm not doing any custom work until after school. If anyone wants anything custom done, and there will be contracts that people have to sign.
Yes, as there should be.
Yes, but I am not giving just because I have a skill that most people don't have. Does not mean I need to overextend myself to give someone my time and effort and money.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not anymore. Saying it right here. I'm saying that.
I'm glad you said it out loud.
I'm glad saying this you said it out loud. For myself because yes. I will make exceptions. I know I will for like friends and family.
They should still be paying you something for your work.
Yeah.
What do I have next here? I am going to get back to making my own fucking matcha again. I've gotten in a bad habit. After I got one, like a book paycheck last year, I was like, okay, I can get my matcha again. And now I'm just like getting my matcha all the time. And now Starbucks has actually changed their matcha formula to not have sugar in it. And it's different.
and I have to like rearrange my order to get like the balance right. And I'm just like, this is stupid. You should just be making your own matcha now. It's time to save money again. So yeah. I have to get those ingredients sorted and just get in the habit of doing it again. I do like getting out of the house. That's like also something that I really love about going to get my matcha, but like not every day. I don't need that every day. Maybe I can gift it to myself like once a week or something.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Just make like do what I did and have caffeine hurt your body.
No, don't do that to me. I can already not drink anything. I've already had that since I was 22.
I know. I'm sorry. I said put myself in a new community to date, and that's what I'm doing by doing cosmetology. So that's a big thing. That's a short thing.
Do you think
there's
going to be a lot of dateable men in the cosmetology?
No, what I hope... No. What I hope happens is when I start working at the salon, I'll be meeting new people who might be able to set me up with someone.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. I was just like... No straight men are gonna be there.
Everyone in my orientation was a woman, so
I'm just gonna go to my dating thing here. I want to go on at least 4 first dates this year. Once I hand in my 5th novel, which I am going to start next week and is due March 1st, not even going to get into that. Once I finish that, I'm going to get back on the dating scene and do another round, a wave, because you have to do hidden waves because it's really emotionally taxing. Mm-hmm. I would love to meet someone in the wild. I'm obviously open to it. I'm going to like keep my single vibes. I feel like dressing where I feel cute has really made me feel more confident in like meeting people in the wild. Mm-hmm. And it makes me look back at like 2020 and 2021, even 2022, you know, when we just got into like wearing shit everywhere, like pajamas everywhere, like, and just like not giving a shit and giving a shit this past year about my like outfits, like all my Popflex outfits I think I feel so cute in makes me more confident when I'm out in public where you could meet someone. Whereas when I'm going out in sweats and shit, I don't want to look at anybody. I just like get my shit and leave. And that cuts you off from like meeting randoms in the wild. Not that they're all everywhere, but if there was one, I would not meet them in my sweats.
Yeah. Definitely. I've noticed when you wear your Popflex stuff, like for instance, I think you were like unloading something at my house. I just saw a man like looking at you and I'm like, stop looking at her.
As long as nothing bad is happening, it's fine. And of course, there are creepy people, but it's about me feeling confident because I am not going to talk to anybody if I'm feeling like I don't feel cute.
Mm-hmm. After I do Cosmo School, I'm going to take a break and I want to try different things like with my license. Like I want to try working, like obviously working in a salon 1 to 2 days a week. I want to work a wedding, like do hairstyling and all that.
That's going to be cool.
I'm going to try like full-time sewing for a bit. And I also really want, I'm interested to see if I really like nails, like if I want to be like a manicurist. So...
Wow.
Yeah.
All the salon things.
All the salon things. I mean, because I've already done the gel X stuff. So it's more about sanitation, but like actually being good at like being a manicurist.
No, I mean, you've already gotten really good at doing it yourself.
Next thing on my list is launch my book this year with some events. It's wild to me. This is, I guess, normal because like you start promoting your book 100 days out and we're way more than 100 days out from the end, like of the end of fall. This book is, I don't have a date yet, but like they're saying like November-y, and that's 11 months away. Mm-hmm. So it is like a normal amount of time, but it feels weird. I've never had it where I submit it and it comes out in the same year.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how it's going to go. It's with a new publisher, but I just, no matter what, want to like celebrate it with at least a couple in-person events. And if that comes up to me to organize, like I want to do it. And I know I'm not good at that. So I want to like put in the time and effort it'll take to figure that shit out.
Yes. Yeah. And I will help you do that because
thank you.
I want that too. We talked about it for her last book, but it just never came to fruition. But yeah.
And I had the book tour last year for the other book. So
this will be a little different.
This will be a little different because I don't think that there's a book tour planned, but we'll see. You never know.
I want to go back to Pilates and I want to try yoga. Ooh. like a easy yoga class.
Yeah. I mean, easy yoga classes are so relaxing and nice.
I need someone to go with me who's not like a pro, who's also like kind of, I should just make Taya go with me.
She's close enough.
Yeah, she'll do it. I just don't know how it's going to, I mean, I'll be able to probably work it into like the 2 days I have off.
I can't for the life of me do a workout in the morning.
I don't understand why. Well, here's why I don't like working out in the middle of the day or at night. It's because I get sweaty and I have all these endorphins that like will keep me going. I have so much energy afterwards.
See, I like that energy in the middle of my day when I start to get tired.
But then you're all sweaty.
I don't know. I like it. I come home and take a quick shower and it's like dinner time and where am I going?
I like starting my day with it, so I feel like I'm set up
for success.
Yes.
I don't get the same endorphins from my strength training workouts that I get from yoga. Like, I miss that hot yoga, sweating out all of my troubles and anxiety, and I haven't been on it the past, like, since August, because I've been doing strength training 4 days a week. I upped it to 4 days a week. I was doing 3 days a week and I was going to do 1 day yoga, but I wasn't getting to yoga because I was on deadline. Mm-hmm. And I would just, like, you know, write through the day and be like, oh, well, I'm doing my other exercises. So this year, I really want to get back to going to yoga once a week at least, because it makes me so happy. Like, I get that rush of like elation after sweating my ass off in there for an hour, and I feel so much better. Like, I feel better physically. I have more energy. I can move without pain all the time now that I'm doing the weight training, but I'm not getting that like amazing, I just did a workout and sweat out my troubles feeling, and I miss it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then like yoga is more like a dance. I just enjoy it way more. Mm-hmm. Whereas like strength training is like it's a lot of circuits. What?
It's boring.
Yeah. It's, the strength training is kind of boring, but like it's over. I do like 30-minute strength training sessions, so it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. But yoga, like, we have a flow. I love it. You never know what's coming next.
Exactly. That's why I like Pilates too. I want to have a graduation/test passing dinner party.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Yeah. Just to celebrate an accomplishment.
Yeah. I know. You have to be intentional about celebrating like these little things because they're big. I feel like we think of them. Like even like the book being finished, I'm like, I don't know.
I know. If I didn't have school, I would have been like, let's go get dinner.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm like, I kind of want to do nothing. But like when the book is like, when there's other things with the book, like when the book hit the bestseller list Better Together, I was like, oh, I guess I'll just get ice cream. But like, I should have like went out to dinner. Mm-hmm. Like, I should do something like marking those things. And I think it'll be really nice to do like a dinner party to celebrate your big accomplishment. All right, I've got a couple left. One of mine here is stop being shy at parties. Like I was saying, I'm 34. Get the fuck over being shy at parties. Like, and I think I have like started down this path because I talked about in tea time, Taya's Halloween party and how like it was just like I knew everybody there. So I was just talking to everybody and it was so fun. Mm-hmm. And just like experiencing a party where like talking to everybody, I'm like, this is nice. I need to just do this.
I mean, I also get shy at parties too. And I feel like I've gotten back in my shell over the last like year or two. So try to be better about learning new things. Be curious.
Yeah, curious and fearless. My mantra going into this year is fearless. Just fucking do it. There's no time not to be. Like, just do the thing. And I've always said, like, just do the thing, but I haven't had that perspective in just like socialization, you know, like socializing. I've had it like with push yourself to go to the event, push yourself to do this thing alone. But like actually just being at a party and talking to people without being scared is a whole nother box. Mm-hmm. What about you? We have left.
I've got one more thing.
Okay.
I really would like to get some kick-ass brand deals this year.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. I have a lot of hope at the end of this year. They're like, we didn't have a lot of gigs in the last, like over this last year coming out of the strike and all that. But I've got some really good work. I'm like partnering now with my management company and I've got some debt. And I really want to pay off my car because my car payment is killing me. I've got two more years of it left, so I would love to like put some money into it just to get it done faster so I don't have to worry about it anymore. So those Kick-Ass brand deals, that would be so helpful to my finances, please.
Yeah. And I want to stay intentional about posting this year. Last year, that was like a huge thing. I was posting all the time and I was just getting so many more inquiries, which is really nice. Yeah, I've kind of had to fall off this past month, but I've still been like not all the way off. I want to get back into posting more things. Last two things on my list. The first is to change the fucking light bulbs. I'm so over lights being out and me staring at them for like fucking years on end. Like, I guess I'll never have that light again. My bathroom lights are completely out right now. There's like a backlight.
Oh my God.
That I could only turn on. And I've just been using that one little backlight. So it's dark in there and I hate it. And I have to change those lights. And
just like a simple light bulb that you just twist in.
No, it's not like that. There's a whole thing I have to unscrew and shit. That's why I haven't changed a lot of these. They're under these things, and there's more than one light under there. And yeah, so they look daunting, but I'm sure it's not that daunting. I'm sure I can unscrew it. I don't know, but I fucking hate when they go out because I'm like, it's under a thing. What is under there?
Have you done it yourself before?
I've tried. I did it in the bathroom down here before. It's a smaller one. This is like a big fixture. That's why I'm like afraid to touch it. I'm like, how heavy is it going to be? How many bugs are going to be under there?
Can you coerce a husband or a boyfriend to come help?
I think I'm just going to try to do it myself. I feel really weird asking someone else's significant other to help me.
Taya's boyfriend, Chase. I was like, can you go and screw some of the shelves upstairs for me? I didn't feel bad about it because Taya like borrowed our screwdriver, like our drill, for months, and then she lost all the drill bits, and I was like, I can't do it myself, so someone go do it.
If it was Brian, if it was like my brother-in-law, I would ask him for help because I feel like we're family, it's different. But like, I don't want to ask like someone like kind of like my neighbor's husband to come help change a light, because what if it's easy and then I'm like, oh. That was stupid.
I'm sure they wouldn't mind helping. I'd like to feel like they have a purpose.
Well, they have purpose. I'm going to try it myself. I'm going to do it. I just have to get the lights out from wherever I've hidden them. And now, because now that I finished my book, I have a whole to-do list of all the things I've been neglecting for the past 2 months. And I am going to do them all this week. That's the goal.
Okay. Wow.
And my last thing on my list is that I want to pitch a new book idea. So I have to outline a new book this year.
Oh, God. Two books and then new pitch.
Well, I need to keep income coming.
That's true.
And I don't want like the ghost of like what's next. I want to keep knowing my next schedule. Those are all the things that I want to be intentional about in the new year. And I guess those are all your things too, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to wrap this up with a Merry Kiss Cliff.
So this is periods of time in our life. So
this is scary.
Yeah. This is our high school years. Which one do you want to marry, Kiss Cliff? Our early 20s, like from college to 25, and then our late 20s.
Fuck. What are you going to do for this? Cliff High School?
Oh, I don't know. This is really hard.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm going to... My early 20s was such a formative time for me, so I think I'm going to marry them.
Hey, my high school years were a very formative time. No, I'm going to cliff those. I had a lot of trauma.
I know. It's like you have so much trauma in the high school years.
I'm going to kiss my early 20s, and I'm going to marry my late 20s because I had so much fun.
I had a great time in my late 20s, too. So I think I'm going to cliff high school as well because although it wasn't terrible, it wasn't great. And I loved my late 20s and my early 20s. So kiss late 20s, marry early 20s.
Okay. Wasn't as hard as you thought.
It wasn't, but it feels like you can't cliff high school. You also learn so much in high school.
I know. I'm just trying to think of the times I had peace.
They're all important. All right, folks. Well, that is our first episode of 2020.
35. We'd love to hear anything that you're planning on being intentional about in our comments. Let us know if you have anything you want to share. We love your feedback. Also know that you could always email us if you want to share anything, thoseworkingfangirls@gmail.com. And we release new episodes every Friday. Remember that the Patreon exists if you want to support the show. Help us live our daily lives and make this a reality every week. that link is also in the show notes. We are going to go record Fangirl Tea Time. We have so much to talk about.
So much. It's not going to happen.
It's going to span this episode and next episode. That is coming up if you're a patron. If not, thank you so much for joining us. We also appreciate everyone for being here. We love you all, and we're so grateful to be going into this third season with y'all. First episode of our third season. I forgot already. But anyway, remember you can follow us on social media at Those Working Fangirls on Instagram, TikTok, and Chloe Laverson runs those. She does a fantastic job. Our show is edited by Vigard, Natasha Polis, Alex Polis, Christine Riccio, and Ricky McBrayer. And our music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Traska. We will see y'all next week. Bye.